I really wanted to continue on with the why, even after God drew my attention away, and well, he's been drawing my attention to this for some time, and he pulled me to this subject earlier in the week, and I continued to press on towards the why series, and was even sitting in the study this afternoon, reading some more, and studying some more, and kept laying this aside. But I feel pretty certain that the Lord would have us look this direction tonight. Luke chapter 16, Matthew chapter 25, 1 Samuel 16. One thing that John Mark Forsey needs to learn is the more scripture you read, the longer it can go. I think I'll begin reading it in Matthew 25. I was going to read Luke 16 first, but and since it's several different passages here, I won't ask you to stand. It's fairly lengthy. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. I could read a lot more in this particular chapter, but verse 21 is what I want to look at in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In verse 23, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You're probably very familiar with that. You understand what's taking place or what has taken place. The emphasis that is placed there on those two verses is the good side. That's the positive aspect, faithful to the faithful. If we go over to chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke and read a few verses there, again, I could read a whole bunch here, but I'm going to drop down to begin with number 10, verse number 10. And here Jesus is saying something somewhat along the same line as what we read in Matthew 25, only it's worded somewhat differently. He said here, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" One commentary writer said that faithfulness and unfaithfulness are not matters of mathematics. They are not matters of mathematics. They spring from the moral and spiritual condition of the inner man. Thus, a man's faithfulness or unfaithfulness in small matters is an index to his character. On the basis of this index, one can determine whether he is to be trusted in matters that are of major consequence. That's an incredible statement. It's an incredible statement. Faithfulness and unfaithfulness are not a matter of mathematics, but they come from the inner man, the inner person, the condition within, the character within. Jesus here in Luke chapter 10 makes mention in verse number 11 that unfaithful in temporal things indicates that there will also be an unfaithfulness in spiritual things. Verse number 11. If ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If a person is unfaithful in the faithful or unfaithful in the physical side of life, then more than likely that is an indication or an index of the character within, as Charles Childers says. And from that, that spiritual condition will also be made real or realized. That because of the physical side, the spiritual side will also be seen. He goes on in verse 12, unfaithfulness as a steward creates that same index within the greater things of life. Smaller, have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You've heard me say it over and over again, and I don't think there's any way that anybody can convince me otherwise, but our priorities are shown in the actions of our daily life. Our priorities are visible to those around us. We may say one thing that our priorities are such and such, but if our actions and our lives show something else, that is actually what our priorities are. You've heard it said. I've heard it said. If somebody were to try to convict us on being a Christian by the markings and such of our checkbook, would it be possible to convict us? You know, the deposits or the credits, or I mean the debits in our checkbook and all of those things that, would there be enough there to convict me? Well, everything I do is in cash. Well, same principle. I'll try to hide behind the roster of the checkbook or the ledger of the checkbook. Our priorities show. But if we go back now then to very quickly to Matthew 25, he's speaking about these servants, these stewards, these ones that have been giving something. They've been given something to go out and do something with. And so in the verses that we read, we find that there is a commendation for being good, that they've been commended for their faithfulness. I think it's good for us to stop and clarify in this context that the criteria was not, are they capable or were they capable? It was not, are they clever or were they clever? It's not, and it was not, were they brilliant? Because those kind of things we can hide behind and say, well, you know, I fall behind, and you know, we're made up of excuses more times than we are otherwise. But it's not all of those list of things that I'm not capable, I'm not clever, I'm not brilliant, I'm not. The commendation was to their goodness, or the commendation was to their faithfulness. They were faithful to the task. And if we read the entire story, we read the entire parable, we'll find that Jesus was speaking on two levels. He was speaking to the faithful and he was speaking to the unfaithful. They were either faithful or unfaithful to duty. They were either faithful or unfaithful to responsibility. They were either faithful or unfaithful to the basic thing of life. I've seen some ball games, and sometimes ball teams have a big bench, a deep bench, I think they call it. That means that they've got this group of people that are out here playing, but then there's this whole group of people that sit back here on the bench that are only there to be called up at certain times. I think if we go and watch them, if we were to go and watch them in practice, that we'll find that all of those people are required to be there at practice no matter what. All of those people are required to suit up in uniform for the game no matter what. If they've never played a single game, they still get to sit on the bench in uniform. They still get to be called a part of the winning team or the losing team. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? The point is that the bench warmer still shows up for practice just as though he was part or she was part of the winning starting lineup. The first string of players still show up in dressed uniform for the games. And if they don't, it's just that much easier for the coach to write them off, I suppose. So it doesn't matter if they're starters or bench warmers. At the end of the bench, the responsibility to practice, the responsibility or the faithfulness to responsibility is still just as vital for all of them. Not capable, not clever, not brilliant, but faithful. That's the commendation that Jesus has given in Matthew 25. Now, if we go back to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, the story that's unfolding there is that Samuel has been commanded by God to go out and anoint a king. Even though Saul has already been anointed and is the king, Samuel questions God on it. Because he's now going to anoint another king? God, if Saul finds out about this, he'll have my head. They work through all of that. Samuel goes and he meets with Jesse's family. You know the story. And the boys that Samuel brings with him to this special occasion all walk before him. And the very first one indicates that this one catches Samuel's eye. This one surely must be the great one. God quickly tells him, no, that's not him. And another one, no, that's not him. And another one, no, that's not him. And the record then goes on to say that seven young men passed before Samuel. I don't know how much we can read into this. I'm going to suggest that at least some of them were good-looking guys. Maybe they were chiseled out. Their muscles were bulging. They were buff, bronzed. I don't know what their good points necessarily were. Maybe they could rope a calf with elegance and speed. Maybe they were the kind that could really do good in mechanics. One of them surely must have been good with chariot wheels or something. They all had their special place. We do know that some of them at least were in the army. They were in the force for Saul. They were fighters. They were warriors for Saul. Suppose that there was a little bit of intrigue there because of that. They looked good in that armor. They were sharp-looking men. We don't think along those lines. We think along the lines of, you know, the great mechanic or something, or the great singer, the one that can woo the crowd and sing with grace and grandeur, or maybe speak well, or maybe they're sharp along some other line, intellectual line, and they're really, really good in their field. I don't know that we could even argue the point that some of these guys may have been somewhat faithful to duty or faithful to responsibility. But what we find is that God was looking for somebody who was really, truly faithful no matter what the consequences, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what was taking place. The call was there to faithfulness. The call to responsibility was given. And he needed somebody who would do that, who had already proven that. And that man was none other than little David. We could look at his entire life and we could bring out all those things. It didn't matter what was taking place. It seemed as though David was faithful in his place of responsibility, even though his brother at one point accused him of unfaithfulness. Who has those sheep, those few sheep of our fathers? Who's taking care of those? What are you doing down here? You're just a young man that's wanting to be brought into the scene, and you're wanting to be looked at, and you're proudful. Go back home and take care of those things. But he was on a mission of responsibility as it was, and he stepped up to the plate while he was there to follow through. You see, God was looking for somebody who was faithful in the small things. God requires two things. He requires good in character and faithful in service. Good in character and faithful in service. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not accomplished, not the highest in his field, not the smartest. Or as they say in Martin County, the valedictorian of the class. Some of you didn't even get that. Valedictorian of the class. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not the tops, but faithful. There's something to be said about you and I tonight as well. It's not a matter of what we think we are or who we think we are or anything else about somebody's stature or appearance, but simply faithful. Jesus tells us that if a person is faithful in the small things, he will be faithful in the big things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust or unfaithful in the least will also be unfaithful in much. That is a principle that Jesus is presenting, and he's asking us, or he's telling us, that that is the principle that we should go by. Faithfulness is the criteria. Once again, we cannot get lost in any other aspect or any other part. Simply faithfulness. Now, from that, there are some other things that need to branch out and become a part of it. But the basis is the thing and the point of consideration. Faithful in the least, faithful in much. If we're faithful to the faith, he's faithful to the faithful. Let's stand together tonight.